Well, for our message this afternoon, if you will, turn to the Old Testament book of Proverbs and chapter 1. Proverbs and chapter 1. And we're going to read from verse 1 through verse 7. It had been my intention today to preach a message that was focused exclusively on verse 7 and the fear of the Lord. But I couldn't get over the first several verses there, and so our attention will be fixed on verses 2 through 6 this afternoon. Hear now the word of the Lord beginning in Proverbs 1 and verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Amen. It is the end of the year 2017, and Lord willing, in a few weeks, we'll begin the new year of 2018. And including today, we only have four more Sundays left in the year. And it is appropriate for us at this point to stop and consider how we have been living our lives. It is appropriate to do individually, but also corporately as a church body, to ask ourselves the question, have we lived this past year wisely? And as we begin the new year, are we going to live the new year wisely? Oftentimes at the end of the year, people take time and they look back over the things that they have accomplished or the things that they wish they would have accomplished. And then they set new goals for themselves in the new year, hoping that everything that they failed to do the previous year will be made up for in the coming year. But the reality is that many people have no idea where they're going in the first place or why they're even here. And sadly, sometimes Christians can be caught up in that as well. They set goals for themselves and they pursue things, but they really have no idea why they're pursuing them or how they ought to be pursuing them. The Christian is supposed to live wisely. We are not supposed to simply rush around. We're supposed to think about our life. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5 that each one of us is supposed to consider how we walk, not as unwise, but as wise, as children of light. But in fact, not only Christians, but everyone, every man, woman, and child, whether they be a Christian or not, is commanded in the scripture to consider their ways and to be wise. God says in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. God is reasoning with human beings, even lost human beings. And he's doing that because since we are made in the image of God, we were made to think. We were made to reason and to use our intellect. Psalm 107 says, consider the steadfast love of the Lord. That means as you are living your life, as you are planning out your days ahead, you are supposed to think to yourself consciously, the Lord's love never fails. The Lord's love is always faithful. And that should interpret for you how you ought to set up your priorities in life. In the book of Haggai, after the exiles come back from being in Babylon and they're building the temple, four times in the book of Haggai, God sends a message through his prophet, and the prophet says, consider. Consider your ways. Think about what you're doing. You're setting up your homes after you come back from exile, but you're not setting up the temple. Consider what you're doing. You're living your life, but you're not thinking about the glory of the Lord. You're not thinking about what the Lord is doing in history. And we live in a purposeless society. We live in a world where people are constantly busy. But if you stop them and ask them what they're really trying to accomplish, they oftentimes have absolutely no idea. But they're very busy doing it. And they don't want to stop, and they don't want to think, and the busyness is an excuse not to think and not to consider. But Christians understand that we were made to consider and to reflect. The Christian life is a race. It's not a sightseeing tour. If you've gone to the famous cities of our world, you go to Paris or to London, you try to see all the main sights, and then at the end of the day you say, well, we're sort of near this place, let's make a dash over there, so you go over there, and then you're too tired to go elsewhere, so you sort of stop for the day. And it doesn't really matter where you go or what you see, you're just sort of trying to see the most that you can. But the Christian is not like that. The Christian's running a race. And when you watch an Olympic sprinter, the Olympic sprinter in the 100 meters knows exactly how many strides it takes him to cross the finish line. These guys train all the time. The swimmers, the Olympic swimmers, know exactly how many strokes it takes them to get to the end of the pool before they have to do a flip turn and come back. They know exactly how many. And they put their hands into the water right where they want it to be. And when an Olympic sprinter takes off down the track, he is putting his foot exactly where it needs to be. And in his mind, he is constantly thinking, I'm 20 meters into the race, this is how my body ought to be. I'm now 30 meters into the race, this is my body, as he goes through the race. And the Lord Jesus Christ didn't walk through this world randomly. He didn't walk randomly. You remember one time his brothers came to him and they said, you are doing all these miracles and your people want to see you. Now, of course, they were unbelieving. They weren't Christians at that time. They were sort of mocking their older brother. And they said, why don't you go down to Jerusalem and show yourself to the world? Do you remember what Jesus said to them? He said, it is not my time. He said, any time is right for you, but it is not my time. In other words, you are just living your life randomly. You're not thinking about your life, but I am considering my life. There is a time to do something and a time not to do it. And you remember when the news came to Christ about Lazarus, his friend, that Lazarus was sick, and Jesus stayed there 2 extra days. He didn't go charging off. He said, it's not time yet. I'm going to wait 2 days, and then I'm going to go to see Lazarus. Jesus considered his life. He put his feet down exactly where they needed to be. He always knew what he was about. And as Christians, that ought to be our great goal. Our steps need to be placed on a firm place, not a crumbly place. A safe place, not a dangerous place. And we need to know where we're putting our feet down. Now, it is with that intention that we are looking in the Proverbs so that we will know where to put our feet. And the first thing that we need to consider here as we look at these first several verses from verses 2 through 6 is Solomon's purpose in writing this book in the first place. Originally, the book of Proverbs was written in part to train the royal children. So Proverbs was used in the royal household to teach the young princes how they ought to act in Israel. And now, we as sons and daughters of the kingdom, we are royal children, and it has been written for us to conduct ourselves in Christ's kingdom appropriately. And there are three purposes here in verses 2 through 6. There are many more than that, many more than these three, but I just want to point out these three briefly as part of Solomon's purpose in writing this book. And it focuses on three different words, and you'll see the first word in verses 2 and 3, and that word is instruction. He's writing so that we may know wisdom and instruction, and then in verse 3, so that we may receive instruction. Now, this word instruction can also be translated in various ways. It can be translated discipline. He's writing this to discipline those who hear. You could translate it perhaps as training. He is writing this to give us training. He is writing this to give us order. If we were in the military, we would say that he's writing this to teach us how to drill, how to march on a parade ground, in step with all of the other combat soldiers. In other words, right from the very beginning, you see that this is the opposite of free thinking. Solomon inspired by the Holy Spirit, doesn't believe in free thinking, in the sense of let your mind go where it wants. Solomon is saying, no, you need instruction. You need training. You need drilled. You need order and discipline in your life. By nature, our minds are completely out of shape. By nature, our minds are flabby and lazy. And this scripture was written to give us instruction. It was written to give us training. It was written to give us order and discipline. By nature, our minds are not governed by the Word of God. They are governed by our passions. They are governed by what we want when we want it at that particular moment. And that can change and shift. And what we think is best is being dragged along by our sinful passions and our lusts. And our mind by nature is filthy and lazy. And so Solomon is saying, the first thing that you need to know, if you're going to live a wise life, your mind has to be in shape. Your mind has to be in shape. When you watch an Australian football game, you don't see anyone overweight running around out there. When you watch a rugby match, those men are solid muscle. They're not flabby. They're not fat and overweight. These men are physically fit. They have talent, they have ability, but in order to be able to use that, they have to be fit. And we have to be fit if we are going to live a wise life. When we read through the Proverbs, it is like having mental wind sprints. Some of you here have participated in sport and athletics. And when you get to a particular level of sport and athletics, everybody's talented. Everybody's talented. And what separates you from the next person is how much training you're willing to do. Are you willing to get up early in the morning? Are you willing to listen to a coach who's going to yell and scream at you so that you run faster and faster and faster during your practice times? And Solomon is saying your mind has to be instructed. You have to go through these mental wind sprints. Some of you have felt this, but you didn't know that that's what you felt. Have you ever had a devotional time where you've read through the scriptures and you feel exhausted afterwards? Have you ever heard a sermon where you thought, wow, that was a good sermon, but I am really worn out? That's because your mind just ran a bunch of wind sprints. That's because you just exercised yourself mentally. It's very, very hard to do. Listening to a 30-minute sermon is far, far, far harder than watching a 2-hour movie. Because when you watch the movie, you're not running any wind sprints. But when you study the scriptures, you have to focus and you get worn out. And you've experienced that in your own life. Well, that's the first thing. The second thing, if we're going to live a wise life, is not just having an instructed and physically fit mind, but Solomon mentions in verse 4 that he has written these to give prudence to the simple. Prudence to the simple. Now, prudence is a bit of an old-fashioned word. Most of us, I would imagine, probably don't know what it means to be prudent. And I would certainly imagine that the young people here don't really know what it means to be prudent. It's not a word that we often use. But prudence simply means the ability to select the best means for accomplishing a particular objective. Prudence, if you are a prudent person, it means you have the ability to not only see the objective and to see the target you're aiming for, but then you have the ability to work through and process what means you have to take to get to your objective. That's prudence. That's what it means to be a prudent man or a prudent woman. It includes the ability to understand and manage your environment. A prudent person doesn't just float through life and just take the hits and sort of go where the wind blows and where the water flows. That's where they are. A prudent person asks themselves the question, what is my context? What is my environment? And how can I manage and control this environment to get to where I need to be? That's a prudent person. A prudent person has the ability to prioritize. A prudent person has the ability to discern between what is good and what is better and what is best. That's a prudent person. And so Solomon is saying here, I am writing so that you will understand not just where you're going, not just the objective you're trying to reach, but how to get there practically, how to actually make this work and become a reality. But then thirdly, he says that one of the reasons he has written this is to give guidance, to give guidance. And that's in verse 5. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. And guidance here means that he is not just saying he wants you to be mentally fit. He's not just saying he wants you to learn how to get to your objective. He's saying he wants you to have clear direction in your life. We live in an age of great confusion. People start off in one direction one day, and they go the opposite direction the next day, and then they go back in the opposite direction the next day, and they don't make any progress. And Solomon is saying, I want you to have clear direction. I want you to have guidance. It is the opposite of confusion and being lost. Now, we are often told, and this is true, that we never arrive. And that's true. All of us here, no matter how wise we become, still need to learn. We never arrive in this life. We're always learning. We're always moving forward. And that's true. But it's also true that it is possible to have certainty and confidence. It is possible to say, I know where I should go. And that's not being proud. It's being biblically wise. To know where you're supposed to go and to quietly and confidently go in that direction. You're not yelling about it. You're not boasting about it. But you are calmly, quietly moving in that direction. How many times before the advent of GPS were you in a group with people and you're discussing about where to go, perhaps a restaurant, or you're trying to meet up at a friend's house and you're all trying to talk about it and you're not really sure how to get there or where to go, and everybody's a little bit confused and there's this babble of voices and everybody's throwing out their opinions, and then one person says, I've been there before, just follow me. And it's just the end of the discussion. Nobody says, well, that's kind of proud to just declare you know where you're going. I mean, that's being very prideful. We're all a work in progress here. I mean, come on, we're all sort of struggling, and then you're just going to tell us that you know where to go and we don't? Well, that's not being proud. That's just having guidance. That's just having clarity. And you're thankful for that. When somebody knows where they're going, you just say, well, thank goodness. Why don't you drive and we'll all follow you? And you're thankful for that. And Solomon says, I'm writing so that you can be someone who knows where you're going. You have direction in your life. And when there's a great babble of confusion in this world, you know where to go. Well, that's the first thing that we want to study this afternoon. And as I've said, we've only studied it very briefly. But Solomon is writing to make us mentally fit. He's writing to give us prudence and guidance. But then secondly, we need to ask ourselves the question, what is my attitude? What ought my attitude to be as I read through this book of Proverbs? If I am going to become a wise man, if I'm going to become a wise woman, a wise child, how do I approach the book of Proverbs? What ought my attitude to be? And the first part of our attitude ought to be seriousness. This is a matter of life and death. This is a matter of eternity. The eternal location of your soul depends on whether you will live wisely or not. In other words, when we come to this book of Proverbs, it's not just a group of sort of witty sayings. It's not just sort of early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. It's not just sort of, well, measure twice and cut once kind of little aphorisms. That's like, well, this will just sort of make your life a little bit better if you do this. This is eternally consequential. And if you don't live a wise life, if you don't make Christ the one after whom you follow, then your life will fall apart. These proverbs here are not SMS messages. They're not text messages that it's just easy to understand just like that. Solomon didn't just write these down, sort of bang these out and text his son, hey, this is a good idea. Don't follow after the adulterous woman. This is something very, very serious. He is imparting words of life to his children. And when we come here, we need to have a very dedicated and serious spirit. I am going to learn wisdom. This is hard. It is very hard. It's hard to learn one proverb well, but then to learn the whole book, and then to put the whole book into practice in your life. That is extremely difficult. It's impossible without the grace of Almighty God. Solomon says in verse 6, he calls these proverbs, and he calls these riddles, or some translations have enigmas. In other words, it takes work to get at these. They're not simple. And you need to ask yourself the question, am I serious about living wisely? Am I willing to do the work? But then secondly, it requires not only seriousness, but humility. It requires deep humility. When Solomon says he's writing to give instruction, he's assuming you're out of shape. Now, nobody likes to be told they're out of shape. And people especially don't like to be told that they're mentally out of shape. Nobody wants to be told your mind is slipping. Nobody wants to be told you're mentally lazy and you can't handle this. But that's exactly what Solomon just told us. And so if you're going to benefit from these wise principles, you have to have the humility to say, my mind is a bit out of shape, or maybe a lot out of shape, and I need to start exercising my mind correctly. That takes humility. When Solomon says, I'm going to give you prudence and guidance, he's assuming you're confused. Now, nobody likes to be told they're confused. If any of you have older parents, how hard is it to go to your mother or father and tell them, you're getting a bit confused? How does a parent usually respond to that when their child comes and tells them that? No father wants to have his son or daughter come and say, Dad, you're getting a bit confused. You need to let me take over the finances. Nobody likes to be told that, even if it's true. But Solomon just told us that we're confused. And so it takes humility to be able to say, I need guidance. I don't know how to make it the best way through my life, and I need guidance. And I'm going to show humility, and I'm going to submit myself to the Word of God. And so you need to ask yourself the question, are you willing to listen? Are you willing to listen? This is very hard, especially for teenagers to understand. Teenagers think that they know everything. Teenagers think that because their parents were born 40 or 50 years ago, that automatically makes them out of date and clueless. But you need to remember that the book of Proverbs was written to teenagers and young people who were in their 20s. That's who Proverbs was written to. And they needed instruction and they needed guidance. But then thirdly, not only seriousness and humility, but we need to have eagerness. I hope you're eager to live a wise life. Look at what Solomon does. He makes this exciting. As any good teacher, he makes this very exciting. He knows he's going to have to really drill these people. He knows he's going to really have to instruct them and discipline and train them. But it's not all military drill. There is excitement here. And look at some of the words that he uses. You look there in verse 3. He says, you're going to receive instruction. Isn't that kind of funny? He makes it sound like it's a gift. You're going to get to do wind sprints. You're going to get to do mental wind sprints. And you think to yourself, huh, wind sprints, but you're calling it a gift. Okay, should I be excited about this? And Solomon is saying, yes, be excited. You're going to get this as a gift. I'm going to give this to you. And then he says in verse 4, I'm going to give you prudence. It's a gift. I'm going to give you a gift. Everybody likes to receive presents. And Solomon here in verses 2 through 6 is handing out lots of presents. He's going to give everybody a present. In verse 5, he says, let the wise hear and increase in learning. He says, if you listen to me, if you listen to the Holy Spirit about how to live a wise life, you will increase in learning. You're going to make progress. You're going to become more wise. That ought to be a great incentive to us. Look at what he says there at the end of verse 5. He says, you're going to obtain guidance or obtain direction. And then in verse 6, you're going to understand a proverb. In other words, he's saying there is a sense in which you're going to arrive. Not ultimately, but in a relative sense, you will be able to say, hey, I've made progress. I get that. Now I know how to live this part of my life. And so Solomon is trying to encourage us, and we ought to come to the Word of God eagerly, not only seriously and humbly, but eagerly as well. Well, as we try to apply some of these things to our minds and hearts, we've only spoken about this briefly, but there are a couple of applications that we can make. And the first application that we need to make is that these proverbs can never give us a new nature. We need a new nature in order to live wisely. Solomon is saying, I'm going to give you prudence. I'm going to give you instruction. I'm going to give you guidance. But he can't give you life. He can't raise you from the dead. Jesus Christ, listen to this in John chapter 6 and verse 60, after he has been speaking, when many of his disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? And you remember what we just said about the Proverbs. The Proverbs are hard sayings. Who can listen to instruction? Who would ever want to be instructed? Who would ever want to be told they're ignorant? They said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. You need to hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ concerning salvation before you try to live a wise life. You must be regenerated. You must have a new nature. Only Christ can give you life. Do not look to the book of Proverbs as a series of moralisms, as a series of, oh, if I just sort of do that with my marriage, I'll have a better marriage. Oh, I didn't realize that's how I was supposed to raise my kids. So now if I try this verse with my kids, then things will become better. That's moralism. That's not Christianity. We are not meant to read through the book of Proverbs as tips to our life to just try to implement them. We are meant to say, Lord Jesus Christ, I need life from you every day to live like this. Would you give me grace to implement these things in my life? It has to come from the inside out, not the outside in. So we must read the book of Proverbs as those who have been raised from the dead by Christ and his words. And then secondly, we need to remember that the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the key to every proverb. Some of you here, kids like to do this with other people. Children love to tell each other riddles and then give each other the answer, and then they love to go find a child who hasn't heard the riddle. And then they all like to gather around the kid and say the riddle to the kid and then all laugh because they all know the answer and the other little kid doesn't know the answer. And it seems so obvious because the whole group of little kids knows the answer and that one little kid is thinking, I don't know, this is a riddle, this is tough. And everybody else is giggling and laughing because they all know the answer. Well, when we read through the book of Proverbs, some of these are very difficult to understand, but you know how to find the answer. The answer is to look to the Lord Jesus Christ and see how he put it into practice in his life. Then you have the answer to the riddle. You can immediately see, oh, this is how it looks like in real life. I'm watching Jesus Christ live it in his life. A riddle is very hard until you know the answer, but once you know the answer, it's very simple. And Jesus Christ is the answer to every proverb in the Old Testament. When we look at the Lord Jesus Christ and when we understand that he is the one who speaks to us, we will automatically have seriousness and humility and eagerness. If you really believe that Christ is speaking to you in the book of Proverbs, you'll have no problem being serious and paying attention. You'll have no problem being humble, and you'll certainly have no problem being eager to learn. So you need to receive the book of Proverbs as spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ and as lived out in his life. As we said before, Solomon never did live up to his Proverbs. But Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30 that Jesus Christ has become to us the wisdom of God. He has become to us the wisdom of God. So this summer we're going to study the book of Proverbs, and we're going to be instructed. And I trust by God's grace that you will arrange your life to match the life of Christ who lived wisely. Let's turn to him and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wisdom of God come to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do confess today that our minds are very spiritually out of shape. We need instruction. We need prudence. We need guidance. And we pray today that you would give us those things as we read through the book of Proverbs. May we come seriously and humbly and eagerly to the scriptures. And may we be blessed as we keep Christ in our eyes. We pray in his name. Amen.